There it goes.
Welcome. Glad to have you. We're going to have some good discussion and good questions. We want your questions today. I'm pretty informal. And I'm going to show you a lot of things, what I've learned over the years, to help you avoid some mistakes that I made. I made some big mistakes. I'm going to tell you some of those mistakes today. And because we want you to avoid them. But let's find out a little bit about you first. How many of you here today are just brand new to single adult ministry? You're just thinking about getting involved, or you're going to get involved, but you haven't started yet. Let's see. Two. Okay, how many of you have been involved in single adult ministry just a year or less? A year or less. Three, four. Okay. How many of you, 3 years or less? 3 years or less you've been involved in single adult ministry. Okay. 5 years or less. Okay. Anybody 5 to 10 years in single adult ministry? Okay, Rob. Ron. Good. All right, how many of you are the director of the ministry, whether it's volunteer or paid, volunteer even, you're the director of the ministry? Great. Great. How many of you are on a leadership team, you're helping in a ministry somewhere, but you're not the director of it? Okay? Good. And do we have any paid people here that are on staff somewhere at a church? Okay, several. Excellent. Ooh, that's great to see. Excellent. Okay. I'm glad you're here. See, we have different levels. You need to see that. We have different levels of experience and involvement here. So this will help you, I think, in many ways. And we want your questions. We'll stop right away and take your questions as we go through it. Let me tell you who I am so you kind of know where I'm coming from. I'm Dennis Frank, and I live in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri. And that's our National Office of the Assemblies of God. I work with the Assemblies of God. I was raised Baptist, but now I'm Assembly, oh my God. And been there 7 years, almost had the opportunity to start the department. We did not have a single adult ministry or young adult ministry department, Aaron. Some of you here are younger, in your 20s or early 30s, so I want to think of you people too. We did not have it until 7 years ago. We had a committee out of the Sunday school department that met every year or two at our own expense. I was on that committee, but we didn't have anything going now like we do now. So we have still a long ways to go. So I was honored to start it. I came from the background of a young adult and single adult pastor for 21 years. That's what I did. And you'll hear some of my stories and see some stuff from there. 21 years in 4 or 5 different churches. Mid-sized and large churches, both. One small church. But so I'm coming from where you were, I think. I know what you're dealing with. You'll see that. I understand. I really think I do. Some of the stuff you're going through and your questions. And then after 21 years of that, I went to the national office to start the department, and it was a great honor for me. They didn't have to choose me. There were other people they could have chosen. But I'm honored to be there, and I still my passion. I still love working with young adults and single adults and leaders, especially like you, who are interested, because I want to multiply anything I've learned and help you avoid my mistakes. Serious. So I love doing what I'm doing. So that's a little bit about me. I'm married. Some of you already noticed that. I got a ring on. What's a married guy doing working with single adults? You don't have to be single to work with marriage. In fact, single adults like to see a healthy marriage. But you got to have a healthy marriage first. They like to see a healthy marriage because most of them want to be married someday. And single married adults don't have to deal with dating somebody in the group and all that that involves and being attracted to someone. Well, you can still be attracted, but you got to, you know, you're married. You better put the kibosh on that. But I'm saying marriage doesn't stop attraction to other people. So I'm saying that marriage has some pros and cons. Singleness has its pros and cons too, as far as being a leader. We'll get into some of that. So we just noticed single adults all over the place when we first started in ministry in the late 70s. And I started singles ministry in 79, full-time, my first full-time position. In fact, I want to tell you a story about that to help you know where I'm coming from. Some of you have heard this before because I've been with you at your church. I was a youth pastor for 3.5 years in South Dakota in the 70s. And then we went to Milwaukee to work with youth and young single adults. 60% youth, 40% time, young single adults. We had a young single ministry that met in a bank building 2 miles from the church. In a nice room, twice the size. We had 30 people coming. But we noticed there were mostly never married people in there, young adults, Aaron's age, 18 to 30. But we had 2 or 3 divorced people, early 30s. Single parent, had kids, never married. Another woman, divorced, had a couple kids. They didn't seem to fit in our group. They were close to the age group, but they didn't seem to fit. They had different lifestyles. They had kids to take care of. You know, they went through a divorce, one of them. We started noticing the never married, the divorced, formerly married. We noticed widowed people in our church. And we enjoyed working with those adults more than the youth. And I was only 26 years old. Young married people. So we moved to Billings, Montana from an invitation, a pastor, to be full-time singles pastor in 1979. We moved from Milwaukee to Billings. I'll never forget. This singles group was already started. They also had 30 people coming. But they were not 18 to 30 years old. They were this age, 30 to 60. All ages. Single and single again. 30 people coming. Started by two men in their early 40s who were divorced in First Assembly. They started this group and they were meeting in a restaurant on a Sunday morning from 9 till 10:30. And then at 10:30, people would go to their churches. We had five churches coming already. Lutheran, Catholic, Assemblies of God, Baptist, and I think Presbyterian. People from five churches. Because, you see, there weren't many churches doing singles ministry. Even today, only 20% of the churches in your hometown, in your county, I guarantee you, 20% of any denomination, Presbyterian, Catholic, Nazarene, Baptist, 20% are doing anything to target single adults. It's a huge market. Thank God for this conference. So, 30 people coming, five backgrounds, two guys started, they were divorced. The fourth week, Bill and Dave came up to me. Bill and Dave were friendly. I'm getting acquainted with them. And they said, Dennis, we're kind of glad the church hired you. I could tell, you're kind of glad, yeah. You're married. I said, yeah, I'm married. Been married 3 years now. Here's Jill. You know, everybody here is single. Single again, divorced, widowed. They said, you're young. I said, yeah, I'm 26. You know, everybody here is 30, 40, 50 years old, even late 50s. I said, yeah, I know. I looked around the room. They said, you ever been widowed? Ever lost your spouse to death like some of our people? I said, no. I'm only married 3 years. Ever been divorced? You know, a lot of us here are divorced. I said, no. Have you ever been a single parent? So we have people with kids here. I said, no, I don't have any kids at all yet. I'm just newly married. And Dave and Bill looked at me in 1979 in Billings, Montana. I'll never forget it. They were divorced and they said, what are you going to teach us? Wow. What a question. What am I going to say? Here I am, a young married punk, didn't know anything about single adults. All I had was 6 months experience working with young adults in Milwaukee. Never worked with divorced or widowed or single parent. I didn't know what to say. And I thought for a minute, these are not my words, because I didn't have the wisdom. And God gave me some words, and I said, you know what? You're right. You teach me. Would you teach me what it's like to be divorced? Would you help me understand what it's like to be divorced in a married, family-focused church? Would you teach me what it's like to be widowed, to lose a spouse? Because I don't know. The feelings. Would you teach me what it's like to be a single parent? Because I don't know. Would you let me read some books? Would you let me go to some seminars like this? And back then, the AG, Assemblies of God, had nothing. We didn't. I had to go to a Presbyterian big church in Detroit in 1981 for a national conference like this to get some training. I went to Garden Grove Crystal Cathedral in Southern Cal, the Reformed Church, Dr. Schuller's church, for a big national conference to get some training. We didn't have anything. And only 7 years ago we started. So I had to learn. And I said, would you teach me? And they said, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. And they smiled. You see, God helped me to disarm their skepticism. Because I didn't know. I was a rookie. And I'm still learning. So I say that story to tell you may not know it all. You may just be just beginning, but you can learn. And thank God you're here. You're here to learn to avoid my mistakes and other teachers' mistakes. And in this class, we're going to look at developing leadership. You as a leader and your leadership team. Okay? So, take your PowerPoint white handout. White handout. That's for you to write your thoughts and questions on. We're going to take your questions. But write your thoughts. It's not so important what I say. It's important what you think about what I say. It's important what you think. So we're going to go through this, and there's lots of material there. And then I'm going to show you some resources. We're going to take your questions too. So let's get into developing you as a leader and your leadership team, first of all. This is our logo. single adult. We're helping churches to recognize the numbers and needs, reach them, restore them spiritually and relationally, and release them into the kingdom. Here's our young adult logo for those of you that are young adults. Okay, what is a leader, first of all? If you turn the page. Effective leaders manage themselves. You have to learn to manage yourself, first of all, and the people you work with, so that both the ministry and the people profit from your presence. So we're going to look for this first few minutes at managing who you are as a leader, and then we'll look at your team for two-thirds of the time. But you have to learn to manage yourselves, first of all, and so we're going to talk about that. Leadership is any influence any person has on an individual or group to meet its needs or goals for the glory of God. Influence. You've heard that word before. Who says that word quite a bit? Writes about it. Maxwell. John Maxwell. You guys have influence. Listen, if you sit here in this class and say nothing, you still have an influence. People form opinions about you. You have an influence. I have an influence. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. So do you. You got to understand your influence. Leadership is influence. Christian leaders are men and women of God with the necessary gifts, willing to be molded by God into leaders despite their shortcomings and weaknesses. Hey, I've got them. You ask my wife. 30 years of marriage, she'll tell you, I've got some weaknesses. So do you. But you work with other people who have strengths that you don't. But you're willing for God to mold you and work with your strengths and weaknesses. These are just a few quotes to start with. What does a leader do? You as a leader are a dreamer. You're a dreamer. First of all, what does God want your ministry to become? Who are you working with? What age group? What does God want you to do? Do you know? Have you prayed? Do you continue to pray every week about your ministry? What does God tell you and show you? What's your vision for your ministry? You better have it. You better talk to those that you're working with, interested men and women, single adults, and get a vision. And know and work together. Have you prayed about it? Okay? You need to communicate what you want to do, your ministry, to pastors and single adult leaders and single adults in your church. You need to communicate. I think that you should be sitting down with your pastor every 3 months the first year and telling him and showing him or her what you want to do with your ministry. You've got to acquaint that pastor. He doesn't know. You can't expect him or her to know what you're thinking. They've got 100 other things on their minds. And they should. I used to meet every 3 months, take them to lunch, communicate my vision, show them what... And the pastoral staff, if you're on staff, some of you are on staff in your church, you should talk about your ministry and your staff meetings. Encourage support through prayer and participation. These are mostly single adults I'm talking about here. Encourage the support. Talk with people in your foyer. A leader is a dreamer. You're a dreamer, okay? You're dreaming big things. That's the first thing, the first D. You're a dreamer about your ministry. You're a delegator, number two. You're a delegator. We're going to talk a lot about this time today. Allow the people to run your ministry. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Ron was with me. A couple of you were. People have to own this ministry. You don't own it. I don't own it. I'm just a facilitator. I'm a leader, but I'm not the only leader. Okay? They must help create your vision. Would you read this with me? The second one? Read it. They will support what they help to create. That's a huge thing I did not learn the first couple years. You have to allow these single adults to create this with you. Don't just go in there, here's what we're going to do, here's my vision, here's what I'm going to do with this and this and this, oh praise God, and every month you're telling them, they go, I want to talk. I have some ideas. Let them, these are big boys and girls now. They're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. Right? Hey, they have responsible positions in where they work. Why not let them give input and create this with you? They will support what they help to create. They need to run this ministry. You don't need to make all the decisions. Man, I made a mistake. Here's a big mistake I made. I would appoint Tom as our sports director. He would accept it for 6 months. He loves sports. He'd get a couple of the guys and gals on his team. They plan an event every month or two. And he has a nice job description. We're going to talk about job descriptions. And then, but 6 weeks later, Tom calls me. Hey, Dennis, can we do this? And I'd say, well, sure, yeah. Okay, thanks. 2 weeks later, somebody from his team says, hey, Dennis, can we do this? They call me. Well, yeah, sure, thanks. Okay. I gave him responsibility, but I didn't give him authority. He has to have authority to run that ministry. So give them authority commensurate with their responsibility. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. We're going to talk about that a little later, but it kind of comes in how. Now, I don't need to make all the decisions, and neither do you. These people are adults. Let them make decisions. You're a dreamer. You're a delegator. Give the responsibility away. Why? Here's why. Because they're going to grow. These people are going to grow when they're involved. Twice as fast as those that just sit there and listen and are not involved. They're going to have joy. They're going to feel like they're contributing. People come because they know somebody or they have a job to do. They're going to come because they know they're looking for Kevin. Oh, good to see you, Kevin. Haven't seen you all week. Oh, good to see you, Mildred. I haven't talked to you. What's going on in your life? That's one reason I come. Another reason is I'm responsible to set things up. The tables, the chairs, the coffee, whatever. I got a job to do. Okay? It retains people. It shares the workload. Any questions, comments about this? We want to take them. Lots to get through, but I'm going to stop if you have a comment. Okay? Yes?
Letting them have the responsibility, but the ultimate responsibility to the church, to your pastoral leadership, is through you. So they have to, even though you give them that responsibility, they got to come back through you so that you know what they're doing.
Well, of course, I wrote the job descriptions, and we have 25 job descriptions on our site. You can print them.
But even still, each activity still has to come through you because you're going to be giving them resources, you're going to be responsible for money, you're going to be responsible for the building, and all those things. Isn't that right?
You know, Ron, no. I would ask the leader, the social committee director team, to work with the secretary at the church to book the room. No, she doesn't have to go through me. I don't want her to go. I want her to be responsible. Now, we would in our monthly meeting, sure, she'll tell us the events coming up. And if she has a question, sure, she should call me. But I want them to be responsible to work with the system. I don't have to prove everything. I've trusted her. I've given her. I've met with her. I know her. She knows me. She's building a team, and she's got authority within boundaries, within limits. So I don't have to approve every activity. Now, if she starts having things I don't approve of, yeah, we'll talk and we can. But you want to give these people authority to work with the system, okay?
Can I back that up one thing, even regarding a budget? Because I know money a lot of times, like, well, you know, you got to go through that with the pastor and things. But like, we've taken our yearly budget we have for our singles ministry, and we've looked at the things that we're doing throughout the year. And I have an activities director, and we've got an event coming up next week, for example. And I've given her, and I've said, okay, this is your budget for that event. You know, this is what you need to bring in. This is the total expense you can go up to. I'm not going to micromanage you.
That's right.
Keep track of your receipts. I'll reimburse you up to this point. She's responsible for that budget. I'm not involved in having to go out and buy every door prize, whatever. It's her budget. If she goes over, she knows not to go over without talking to me, or she might be liable for those things personally. But I've given her a budget she's to operate within, and I don't micromanage that.
When you release responsibility and authority, you will build your ministry. If it has to come back through you, you won't have the time. Your ministry won't grow as much as it will if you release. Now, you have to recruit quality people. We're going to show you that. But you've got to release the ministry.
So then your primary role is, you know, obviously management of all that, oversight of everything, but also teaching.
Well, yes, managing the leaders, yes. But number two, teaching. But if I get two or three classes going, I can't teach a ball. I recruit people like you to teach. That's right. You see, that's Ephesians. You give the ministry away. This is not your ministry. It's their ministry. And these are big boys and girls, and they are growing. They're responsible, many of them. They're spiritual. They're growing. Not all of them, I know. There are flakes, and there are all kind of people. But you recruit the quality people that you can train. You give it away. Now, you're always going to have stuff to do. You'll watch. This is why you get these people involved. On our website, pick one up. On the table downstairs, look for this banner. By the way, we have two of these here for sale. They're $99. I'd love to have you take one so I don't have to take it home. Shows you the ethnic diversity, the single parent, the ages. Nice little logo. Love to have you take one of these. We can even build your church and you can take it today if you want. Love to sell it to you. On our website, pick up a website. I'm going to refer a lot to the leaders section because we have 200 and some things under leaders. singles.ag.org. Huge, 460 pages. You can find a lot of this on the site. Oh, the job descriptions, they're on there. We're going to look at job descriptions. And you can take those job descriptions and print them, use them, change them, modify them. Okay, this is why. You're a delegator. You're a dreamer first. You're a delegator second. You give the authority away. Look at this. You give it. You see, back to Tom. If Tom's a leader in my ministry and he doesn't have authority, he has to call me for the decisions, then he's a puppet. That's ridiculous. Dennis pulls the strings. No. Give him authority commensurate with the responsibility. Give it, teach it, model it. Model it. You have a boss. I have a boss at the national office. I'm accountable to somebody. We all have a boss. That's okay. That's healthy. That's healthy.
The thing, too, that I think is important that I struggle with is I can say that I'm giving it away, but my actions don't show that I
sometimes
go behind and, you know, do things and so.
That's right.
Your actions are just as important as saying that you're giving it away.
Lee, good point. Here's a good quick story. You know, God has given me some abilities, and I'm thankful for that. I can play and sing, lead worship, organize, recruit, sell, etc. And I used to cover people's bases. When some of our leaders wouldn't come through, oh, Dennis will do it. Dennis will get up and play the piano or the keyboard and lead the worship. Dennis can do it. So I would do it when someone didn't show up because I love to lead, love to play and sing. But you know what? I got to a point when I realized I was enabling those people to fail. And I surprised the group one time. John didn't show up to play the guitar and lead the worship. People are looking at me. And I got up and I went to the microphone and I said, you know what, folks? I know I could get up and lead today, but I'm not going to do it because something happened to John. He didn't call to replace himself or let you know or me know. And so we're just not going to have any worship, any singing today. Why not? What did I do by that? What did I teach them? They called John when they saw John. Hey, John, what happened? You didn't come, and we didn't sing any songs at all. Dennis didn't get up there like he normally does. And John was embarrassed. The peers were putting pressure on John because no one took his place. He didn't cover his bases, and I didn't jump up there to do it. Now it was hard for me to do. I wanted to get up there and play, and because I thought the group they want to sing, they want to clap, they want to have a good time. But no, I didn't do it. See, I let them fail, and then the peer pressure, they contacted John, and they said, "Well, we need you, John. Call if you can't do it, you know." See, so I'm saying you can let them fail. You can let them fail and let the group see that. Now, not right away. You want to encourage him. Now, I didn't go reprimand John, but I did talk to him. I said, John, you know, the people want you here. Please call me or call Sue to play the keyboard if you can't. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. See? You can let them fail. Give the authority away. Model it. Teach it. You're a delegator. You're a dreamer. Ask people to be accountable. It needs to exist. Learn to be comfortable with it. You're accountable, I'm accountable. Teach and model, there it is, the freedom to fail. I told the class yesterday, a couple of you heard this already, one of the best lessons I learned from Pastor Sam Benson in South Dakota, my first church. Or was it Billings? I was with him two churches, I forgot which, Montana. He asked me the first month to come in and talk and sit down and talk. Some of you remember this. And he said, Dennis, I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We want to help you. But I want to tell you something. I want you to make 3 big mistakes every month. Huh? Pastor, you want me to make mistakes? I remember saying this at your church. Well, I don't understand, Pastor. I thought you wanted me to be successful and build a ministry to youth or singles and be effective. He said, oh, I do. I want you to. Well, then what do you mean you want me to make mistakes? He said, I want you to try new things, new ideas. Dreams. You're a dreamer. I want you to try things. Some of those things are going to work And some of those things are not going to work. You have the freedom to fail, Dennis. I can make mistakes. It's okay.
Yeah.
Tell your people this. They can make mistakes. It's okay. Hopefully you're recruiting quality people. We're going to show you that. But they're allowed to make mistakes. You make mistakes, don't you? So do I. It's okay. As long as you learn from them, give them the freedom to fail. You can't make too many mistakes at work, can you? Or you'll be booted out. You're allowed to make a few, but you better get your act together, buddy, or we're going to let you go. But in the church, in the ministry, you can make mistakes and fail and learn from them and be okay. So teach them that.
Are you going to go into more detail on maybe methods of accountability later?
I wasn't, because okay. There's so much to get through. We can talk personally if you want to.
Or any just real general guidelines?
Yeah.
You don't want to micromanage, but you want to... watch them.
If we don't get through it, talk to me after class, okay? Okay, lastly, you're a disciple. You're a delegator, you're a dreamer, you're a discipler. You're a people builder. Let me just give you a few things on this. Be a people builder. You want to build people. You're in a people ministry, not a paper ministry. I never forget. Man, I love to make lists and check off lists, and I get things done. So does Tom. I know Tom. I'm a doer, but I'm also a people person, and I've got to take time for people, and so do you. So you meet with your leaders individually, and we'll get into this. You need to train them individually. If you have 5 leaders, you should be meeting with, I think, every 2 weeks, you should be meeting with a leader. So that in 5 leaders, you're meeting with all of them. In, 10 weeks, you're meeting with all 10 leaders individually for coffee or lunch or something. You're spending an hour with them. You are investing your interest and your prayer and your encouragement in these leaders. You've got to meet with them individually. Why? To problem solve, to build relationships, to model transparency, tell them your mistakes, to encourage and affirm, to train them. Talk about how they're doing, how's it going, what are some issues, how can I help you? You want to meet with them. Now, when the ministry gets bigger and you've got 15 or 20 leaders, well then, you can't meet with everyone individually every 2 weeks, because it's going to take you 40 weeks to get to 20 leaders. That's not enough personal time of yours. Then you need to appoint other people to be an extension of you, who are department coordinators. We got an activities department with a social director, a sports director, a Sunday lunch director, and that coordinator meets with those leaders individually, because I can't do it all. We had 47 leaders at our biggest ministry in San Jose, California. We had 5 groups going every week, and everything, divorce recovery, age classes, single parent ministries. I could meet with all those leaders. So I had to appoint coordinators to meet with them. And so you see what I'm saying? Be a people builder. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, because I'm trying to disciple, trying to show you just on you, focus on you. We're going to move from this section here. Be a team builder. Play together, pray together, plan together. This is the last one on you. Pray, plan, play, problem solve, all those great P words. Build relationships. When I was a singles pastor, we 3-4 times a year, we would take the leadership team out, nobody else, all just the 10 leaders or the 20 leaders. We'd have a picnic, we'd have games, we'd have volleyball, we'd go to the beach, we would have an overnight retreat once a year, just the leaders. And we would subsidize their cost or pay the whole cost for them out of our offerings, out of our offerings that you take. Leaders should be treated as leaders. They should be elite. They should be built up, encouraged. And you, as a team, you plan and pray together, and you meet together monthly. You meet together monthly. You can give them reading assignments. Reading assignments. And then you discuss that reading. I know only half of them are going to read. I know. But then the ones that have read put the pressure on the ones that haven't. And so you get, there's so many good leadership books out there to help you train your leaders. Here's a new one by a weirdo named Dennis Frank that we just wrote. It's exciting. I just finished a book. You could have them read a chapter once a month. One chapter, take them 15 minutes. They can find 15 minutes. Don't let them tell you they can't. In a month, they can do it. And you discuss the chapter. And it'll help build your leadership team. And of course, you talk about a lot, you discuss a lot. Okay, this is just on you as a leader, the first half hour. What time do we start? 11? Okay, good. Comments, questions about this section. This is on you as a leader, this part. because we're going to move to developing your team, but this is on who you are.
I have a question. You were talking about how in our jobs, you know, we can't fail. You know, we don't have the liberty that we have in our churches. But if our jobs are in our churches and we put people that have failed, it's, you know, kind of like he was saying, you know, what's the balance of having them? I mean, I know you want quality people, but still quality people fail.
Yes.
And it ultimately is your responsibility. And, you know, if it is your job, you can't.
But yes, quality people will fail you, but they're going to fail in the children's ministry, the youth ministry, the men's. They're going to make mistakes. So yes, the buck will stop with you if you're the volunteer or paid leader, of course. But pastors know that. Pastors make mistakes. You're allowed to make some mistakes. It's going to happen. You don't have a perfect ministry. If we had a perfect ministry, we wouldn't be here on the earth. We'd be in heaven. People aren't perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. But you learn and you go on. So, yeah, it's going to happen.
Go ahead.
Okay.
At what point, what kind of numbers are you looking at where you really start needing to build this team? I have 22.
Attending. Yeah.
And I have a group of three women that are in charge of all the food quality activities.
Okay.
And then I've been setting everything else up, okay, at this point. Mm-hmm. We've only been going for 8 months, so...
Only?
Well...
Carol, you need to release some of that.
Huh?
You need to release some of that and let others set up.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought. You know, at this point, you know, we can do activities.
Okay.
I mean, how many people do I need it?
Okay. Your question is good. Really good. When do I start appointing leaders? How quickly? And how many should I appoint? Okay. And recruit. And we're going to get into that. You should appoint leaders after you get to know them well enough. 8 months is well long enough, I think. If you've got a person coming half the time or more after 8 months, even after 4 or 5 months, I'd be appointing people. After 4 months, if I'm starting a ministry, I'm looking for leaders already in 4 months. You bet. I'm going to appoint people to take a 6 month or 9 month position. We're going to show you that. And then how many? In my opinion, 30% should be involved on a weekly, regular basis. 30% of your attendance. You got 22? I think 7 should be involved at some level of leadership. Some level. They're not all the same. Not your top leaders. As your group grows, you're going to have 2 or 3 levels of leaders with less or more responsibilities. But I think 30% of your group could be involved. 30%. You got 20? Then 7. You got 10? Then 3. You got 50? Then 15, 16. At some level. Because I think a group can maintain 30%, a healthy group.
Angela Lee's comment a while ago, most of that can be done in communicating, you know, like you said, meeting with them individually or the once-a-month meetings. Most of that accountability can be done.
Yeah. Until you get too many leaders and you can't meet with them individually, then you ask others to be your coordinators. That's right. All right. Now let's talk about building a leadership team, because that's what your questions are revolving around. Who, what, when, where. Okay. As you're recruiting leaders, these are the kind of questions you and your leaders need to be asking and answering. What's our mission? What's our purpose? Now, the next 2 hours, I'm going to teach one on models. Some of you have already heard that, but most of you haven't. And we're going to do it twice. So I'm not going to get into the models today, but I'm going to tell you that there are different types of ministries. The next session we will. And you need to decide what type of ministry you're building, which model you're starting with, and then recruit leaders to fill that model. Bible studies, discipleship, discussion model, outreach model, there are different models. Or what age group are you targeting? So you need to have this decided before you recruit leaders, of course. What interest group are we targeting? Single parents, widowed, divorced? Of course, you want leaders that are going to relate to them and have those same experiences. So those are the type of questions you need to ask and answer. Single parent, families, divorce care, widowed care. So here's some other things. What leaders, what ministries do we want to begin? Do we want to have social activities once a month? Well, then you need someone to coordinate that. Do we want to have sports? Do we want to have social Sunday lunches? Do we want to have a book materials table that people can get free stuff or buy books from? Do we want to have children's classes? What do you want? What kind of leaders do we need? What responsibilities would they have? What's the time frame? How long do you want them? I'm going to suggest some things. What resources, books do we need to obtain? While you're here, look at the tables down there. There's all kinds of materials. sacrifice a little bit, spend some money, get some books, get some CDs and DVDs to help you. I'm going to show you a few. So these are the kind of questions you want to ask. What training do we need? Who has leadership potential? Who's got the desire and skill and experience and vision and good attitude? I'm always looking. As a singles pastor, I'm always looking. If you're the class man, every week I'm looking. Who's here? What am I hearing? Who's growing? Who's articulate? Who's friendly? Who's got a good attitude? Who loves the Lord? I'm looking for those things because we're looking for people to get involved. So you're always looking. These are the kind of questions you're asking, you're answering. And not just me, but your leadership team. You got four leaders? You tell them to answer, look for these things. They're an extension of you. They need to be looking for leaders. Man, they'll see things you don't see. Okay? So in leadership, you're asking and answering these questions. When can I meet with them? Here are the reasons that you should be recruiting people. And we're going to look at qualities too. Because people will grow. They are retained if they're involved. Happiness and joy comes into their life. Their workload is shared. They feel important. They're contributing. It eliminates your burnout. You can't do it all. Even in a group of 22. Carol, what needs to be done? You can't do it all. You don't have the time or the ability to do it all. And you need people like this. And we need you. We need each other. So, and if you're on staff like Kevin and Tom, you got 3-4 areas to oversee. You can't build. You can't. Even as a full-time singles pastor, I couldn't do it all. In a church of 1,800, I couldn't do it all. I don't have the time or ability. So you want to. These are reasons for recruiting people. And teach this to your leaders. Now, in my opinion, beginning a ministry, these are the things you're going to need the first year. If you can look for the first year, in my opinion, you got a class, you got a group. You're going to need a hospitality person to be in charge of recruiting greeters and hosts. Why do we need greeters? Well, guess what? You come through the door there, this is your first time. You're wondering what kind of group this is. You just broke up from a dating relationship. Your girlfriend or boyfriend left you a few weeks ago. Or you got fired from a job, you're hurting. Or you're 3 months into your divorce and you're hurting. And you come into that meeting, that door, and man, you're thinking, they're going to accept me here? Is this a meat market? They're going to try and match me up? People friendly? What kind of age group is this? What are they teaching? You've got all kinds of questions. You better have some greeters at that door. You better have a male and a female greeter there. If I'm a guy and there's two women there, and I just went through a divorce, and there's two women at the door, and they're friendly. Oh, what's your name? Good to have you. And I don't trust women. My wife just left me 4 months ago. I don't want two women being so friendly to me. Or if I'm a guy and I think I'm really something, if I'm arrogant and I'm looking for women, yeah. But most women or men, when they went through divorce, they don't trust another man or another woman. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I don't trust another man again. He burned me. You better have a male and a female there. Not two guys, and the woman comes in and she just broke up with her boyfriend, and Mildred doesn't trust a man again, and these two guys are friendly, and she's, yeah, this is what I thought. This is a match. This is a meat market. You better have both genders there, is what I'm saying. You need a hospitality director to recruit and train greeters. Follow-up person to send emails or cards or something to the visitors. You need someone to do that, to thank them for coming and call them and get acquainted. Music person, discussion leaders, someone to be in charge of recruiting. Kevin, as a singles pastor, doesn't have to recruit all the discussion leaders. He can recruit Trent to be the discussion leader if Trent likes to go after people, and let Trent be the director of the discussion leaders. See? You give it away. Snacks and food people. Activities director. MC. Someone to lead the group. The MC doesn't have to do the teaching. That should be another person, in my opinion. Don't let the teacher do it all up front. Give him a break. You have a couple guys and gals in your group that have the gift of gab. And they can get up there and they can say, welcome, man. It's good to have you guys. What a great week. Great to have you. And they're positive. And let them MC the class. Okay? This is my opinion. I think you need the first year. We have job description for these on the website. You can change them. You can modify them. It's under leaders. Pick one up down in the foyer down there. by this. All right? There's other ideas as you build your ministry. Here's some more things you're going to be looking for. Someone to plan Sunday lunches, a prayer director, an outreach director, someone to plan your outreaches and build a team of three or four people, small groups director, drama director. There are some drama people that love to do drama, but they're sitting there and waiting for you to say, we're looking for a drama director. If you like drama, you want to put together a team, come and talk to me. And every 2 months they do a drama in your class, in your meeting. Man, people are ministered to by drama, even a 3-minute drama. Newsletter, photographers, videographers, video, Sunday lunch, audiovisual. Someone that people love to work with all technical stuff and computers and audio. Let them do it. You don't need to do this. You've got all kinds of talented people there. You got 10 people, they all have talents. See what I'm saying? Comments, questions? There's more. There's more other, as your ministry grows. Here's some other ideas. Children's groups of single parents. Visual arts, books and tapes, materials, helping hands. Man, some of these single adults and single parents don't have money to fix the generator on their car. You can take an offering every 3 months and have a benevolence fund and have someone in charge of it, and they can give out 20, 30, 50 bucks to someone to help them. Let the singles help others. Some of them have good jobs and they'll want to give 10, 20 bucks. Let them do it. Other needs, age groups, etc. I'm saying it's limitless. Limitless. See? This ministry is huge. See the website under Leadership Resources. All right. Other things we should get into here. But if you have a question, I've got lots to go into, but I want to take a question. Okay, what about males versus females in leadership? What's the pros and cons? I showed this one, this little point yesterday. Generally, I have found the older the group, the more important and difficult it is to find males. One of you brought it up. Was that this class or last class? Right over here, of last class, I guess. How do we find the guys? We're 30s, 40s, and 50s, and we can't get many guys. We're 2-1, 3-1 women. Yeah, that's going to happen. In the young adult groups, Aaron's age, some of you younger adults, there will be as many guys as gals usually. There could be, very easily. But in the older groups, it's tougher to get the guys. Why? Because a guy thinks, he's a boomer, see? A guy my age, 40 and up, they're raised in the John Wayne generation, and they think you keep a stiff upper lip. I'm a good guy, I don't need anybody. And by going to a group, though, I'm admitting a need. Yes, we are admitting a need. But see, guys don't like to admit needs, especially the boomer guys. The guys that are Aaron's age in their 20s, early 30s, aren't as hung up about that, and they're not as hung up about meeting needs because they're raised in a different generation. But the boomers, so the guys don't come as easily because they think they're meeting needs, and they are. And number two, a spiritual thing to the boomer guys, a lot of them think it's for women. That's a Bible study. Well, I'm not gonna get guys, but I'm telling you what, they have just as big of a need as a girl, as a woman. And so you've got to work really hard at finding men to put in leadership. You put men up front who have a fairly... Some of you ladies are thinking, men who are articulate? I don't know any men who are articulate. Don't you think that? Ladies, shame on you. There are some of us guys out there that are articulate. And you let them make announcements, and you let them do the greeting, and you let them do a prayer, and you let them give a life share testimony, 3 minutes. You put them up front because guys want to see guys. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. I showed this one yesterday. Most of you weren't there. I think you should put men up front before women. Because men will attract and retain both males and females better than women will attract and retain both males and females. Women want to see men up front too. Women don't mind seeing women up front, but they want to see men. Guys want to see men, and some of them are okay with seeing women. The older guys I'm talking about now, 40 and up. Okay? The groups that a lot of you are working with. Because of our egos. Guys have egos. Don't they, ladies? The perceived authority. The older guys are a little more old-fashioned than the younger guys. So I'm saying, you got to work hard at putting guys up front. You have 10 women and 3 guys. Are one of those 3 guys fairly articulate? Would he accept getting up and making announcements? Even temporarily for a couple weeks? And then you encourage him and you get, man, good job. And then you help. See, you got to start somewhere. Don't just put the women up front because the guys are so quiet. Go after those guys, ladies. You got to go after them. Males versus females. Comments about this? Questions? You see what I'm saying? This is the older group. Use men up front as much as possible.
Depends on the quality of the people, doesn't it?
Sure. That's right. The quality, the ability to speak and be friendly. Now, I've had way more women than men in leadership in these older groups. But up front, I would put the men up front first. Because women have much more organizational ability as a rule than men. Usually. Not always, but usually. So the women would plan the retreats. Well, let's say that Wendy was... Nancy, I'm sorry. Nancy is our retreat coordinator. And for 6 months, she's building a team, because we have a 2-day retreat coming up in 6 months. And she's building a team of men and women, both. But she's the head honcho. But she's recruiting a team. So she or somebody on her team makes the announcements about the retreat. But she's got the organizational ability. She can recruit. She can build. That's a nice little ringtone. Okay. It does, isn't it? So, but I had more women than men in leadership because more women were more plentiful and they had great organizational ability. Follow me? Okay, what about married versus single in leadership? There's a lot of thoughts here, a lot of questions. Generally, the younger the age group, the young adults, 20s and 30s, Aaron's age, what are you, 28?
Yeah.
See? I've worked with people. I kind of have a... Aaron's age, in his age group, they will accept married couples, singles too, but married couples in leadership. Because Aaron's age don't go around thinking, I'm a single adult. They don't identify themselves by their marital status. They don't have a trouble working with married people at all. They'll hang out with marrieds. See, Aaron would probably hardly ever go to a singles group. Because he didn't think of himself as single, do you, normally? You just think of yourself as never married. I'm not married yet. But someone 20 years older than him, 48, is probably divorced. 90% of them. Or widowed. Or single parent. And they're single or a single again. And they've been burned by married people. Married people don't understand me. I'm 48, divorced. What do you know about divorce? You haven't felt the pains of divorce. You married people. And married people feel like the church, divorced people feel like the church has let them down. And they don't want to hang out on with the married couples in leadership. They're more open to the remarried couples in leadership. Because the remarried people used to be single. The remarried people went through divorce or death of a marriage or death of a spouse. They understand. You can recruit remarried people for the singles ministry is what I'm saying. I talked to a pastor 2 weeks ago. He said, Dennis, we've got a group going, but I can't find leaders. I said, what age group is it? He says, well, it's 35 to 60 or so, 55. I said, you know what, pastor? Do you have some remarried couples in the church? Yeah, we got remarried couples. I said, are some of them not doing anything? Yeah, some of them aren't doing anything. I said, go after the remarried couples to help with that class. Why? Because, pastor, they used to be single. They went through death of a spouse or death of a marriage. They understand. And some of those remarried couples will have a heart for it because they remember what it was like to be single again. The hurt, the pain that some of you have gone through, or you know what it's like, and you're looking for leaders. So it's not just singles, it's married and remarried. But I'm saying the first time marriage should work with Aaron's age, and the remarriage should work with the 35 and up. I think that works. Now, I wouldn't make the total leadership team married or married or remarrieds. Because it's not a married ministry, it's a singles ministry. It's a young adult ministry. So, the leadership should predominantly be single adults because of these things. Make sense? You see what I'm saying? You can recruit married people and remarried people, but don't make half or more. I went to what time does this class end? 12:30. 15? Okay, I'm going to get going. Comments, questions? About it? What page are we on? How many pages do we have left? 15? Okay. There's four types of people. As you look for leaders, you need to know this. VDPs. Anybody know any VDPs? They're the ones who come and, man, they always want to say, oh, Darlinda, tell me about this week. I don't know what to do. Oh, God, pray for me. Every week, she's, Darlinda, and just, they're just pouring out and spilling on you all their negative. You know what, Mildred, did you hear what he said last week? I can't believe it. You know, you're going to have people like that. Are those leadership material? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. The VNP, the neutral people. They just come and kind of sit every week, you know, they don't get too involved. And, yeah, that was good teaching. Yeah, hi. I'm not saying they're drab, I'm saying they don't get involved. They don't want to get involved. Then you got the VTPs. That's you guys. You're here. You took your Saturday, you drove, you spent money, you paid registration, you're here to grow and learn. Praise God for you guys. Thank you. You're the VTPs, and you become the VIPs. That's the people you want. Look around for them, because they're in your group, they're in your church, they're in your community. Okay? Recruiting leaders, know what you're looking for. Oh, I made some mistakes. Let me tell you my mistakes. Know what you're looking for. Seek God for guidance. Look for strengths. Develop relationships first. Let me tell you about that. I can sell people. I can recruit people. I've got the gift of gab. Used to sell on the road. Rita's been coming to our group now. I'm the singles pastor. She's been coming for 3 months. I've noticed her. I've talked to her a couple times. She's pretty faithful. People seem to like her. She has good comments. I don't know her very well yet, but I've talked to her a few times. So I call Rita. Hey, Rita, we're looking for someone to help us plan some Sunday lunches twice a month. You know, for our group, that's a lonely time sometimes for single adults. And I noticed you've been coming for 3 months. Could we get together and talk? Would you be open to talking about it? She says, yeah. So we get together, we talk. I give her a job description. She accepts it for 6 months. She's going to plan Sunday lunches twice a month. She's going to plan them. She's going to promote them. She's going to announce them. She's going to find the restaurants. She's going to look for, you know, all these things. Things for kids, menus not too expensive, and different things. Well, after 3 or 4 times of lunches, Rita calls me. Dennis, I don't know if I have time for this. Or I don't know if this is the right thing for me. Well, why? We talked. I recruited you. You said yes. You took the job description. I didn't know Rita well enough. I was so anxious to recruit someone to fill that position to get Sunday lunches going so I don't have to do it. And in fact, I wasn't doing it before. I shouldn't be. You should recruit people. But that wasn't her gift. That wasn't her love, her interest. But I didn't know that. See, I jumped the gun. I recruited her without even knowing her. I should be talking to her more often before I ask, and asking what her interests are, and even giving a spiritual evaluation, gift test. You can do that, you know. So I made a mistake. I goofed. I set her up to fail, because that's not her gift. That's not her desire. So know the people first. Okay? Ask to serve first. Here's another one, specific time. Another big mistake I made. Billings, Montana. First ministry. First couple years. I would recruit Kevin and Rita and Darlinda, and they each have job descriptions, and boy, they're going to town. Sports and music and prayer and all this stuff. And well, after 8, 10, 12 months, they start calling me. Dennis, Darlinda says, I don't have time for this, really. And I was expecting Darlinda to do it till Jesus came back to the earth. I never gave her time to a period of time. She wants to do something else now, but she didn't want to disappoint me. She didn't want to disappoint me and come and say, you know, this isn't working out. So she keeps on doing it against her better judgment sometimes. See, give them a specific period of time. 6 months. 6 months. 12 at the max. At the max. And then let them change positions, change jobs. Or if they want to. Or they might even leave your ministry after 12 months. See? So don't make the same mistake I did.
So.
Yes.
So all during this time, you're looking for someone else to fill her shoes.
Well, guess what? When you mean after she told me?
I mean, well, if you give them like 6 to 12 months.
Oh. No, I'm not looking. You know why? Because on their job description, when I went through it with them, it says, you look for someone who is a potential replacement for you. Not me. I can't replace 10 to 20 people or more. I don't have the time or the talent. Besides, you might have someone on your team that you've recruited that you know is potential to lead it. And I don't know that, but you do because you're the leader, Lorna. So you suggest them. That's part of your job description. So that in 6 months or 9 months, you say, thank you, it's been a great experience. I want to recommend that Mary take my position. Now, I don't ask you to appoint Mary officially, because the team, the leadership team who comes together every month for our meetings, remember our monthly meetings? They may know something about Mary that you or I don't know that makes her unfit at this point to lead the team. So, but part of your job description is to find a replace, a potential replacement. Not me. We give it to you. Here's what you're looking for in a leader. We got 15 minutes left. Here's what you're looking for. These type of things. Balanced life, desire to serve, well-groomed, likable, dependable, you know. Now, you're not going to get all of these, maybe, but you want to look for most of them. Here's some other strengths you'd like to have. You'd like to have these things. You may not get them all. You can teach some of these, not all of them. These are what you're looking for. Okay? Teach these to your leadership team. Give them out. This is what you're looking for when you're looking for replacements. Okay? Persistent. Action-oriented. Okay? Question? Why use job descriptions? Here's why I think you should. Do you have a job description at work where you work? How many of you have a job description? Many of us do. Sure. Why not do it in the church, too? Why not give... Now, don't be real detailed and tell them how to do everything. Let them use their creativity. But give them the basics. Know what you can expect. Know what you can inspect. That's why.
Do you have commitment like forms on your website?
We do. We have under leaders, you'll see a leadership application, a 2-page application. Now there's 8 sections under leaders, so you're going to have to go down, I believe, to training. Training and motivation. Drop down boxes, look under training and motivation. And there's a ministry application there. You want to get to know these people, see? So, this is why I think you should use job descriptions, because you maximize... And see, you take a half an hour to write a job description, then, or maybe you want to sit down and write it. Let's say Lorna's our social director. She and I together are going to sit down and write a job. Once you do it, you have it for a long time. And then you just add on different jobs, different ministries. Now, you can refine that job description after Lorna leaves. You can change a couple things, sure. But I'm a big believer in this, because they need to know what they're getting into. These are intelligent people here. Let's not treat them like kids. Let's go for excellence, okay? Okay, there's more here on training. If you have a question, we'll take it. Training your leaders. Meet regularly. We talked about that once a month. As a leadership team with your 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 leaders, you can make it a lunch thing. And you see, when you recruit the leaders, you tell them, once a month, Sandy, as a leader, social director, we're going to have a three-hour meeting. It's going to include an hour of lunch and fellowship and discussion and 2 hours of training and planning and praying. And this is a priority. We'd like you to be there. We need you to be there. And you give her the dates, okay? I plan the next 6 months. Can you be there? You can miss one or two, but if you miss them, then you need to get the notes and you need to... So you ask for that commitment when you sign Sandy up, see? Because if you don't, then she's going to say, well, I didn't know these were the dates. I'm out of town this weekend. Or I'm in Hawaii this weekend. Or I'm with my boyfriend somewhere, you know. See? Treat them like adults. Treat them like adults. Meet regularly with the team, with the individual. Give reading assignments. We talked about that. Teach and discuss principles, this kind of stuff. We'll do a leadership retreat once a year, overnight. Subsidize their costs out of the offerings. Plan on it. Take them away, all six leaders, for an overnight where you can pray and plan and have fun and play together. And you tell the rest of the group, man, we had a great leadership retreat last week. We were excited about this coming year. We talked, we played. And the people are going, See, there's something nice and elite about being a leader.
Well, when you're talking about this, would it be your suggestion that we do like a whole year of activities at one time? Or how would you?
I wouldn't do a whole year myself. Only in the larger, more developed ministries do they plan a whole year ahead. Now, for the major things, yes, the retreat, the guest speaker, you've got to plan 6 months ahead. The big things, but not the monthly activities or lunches, no. Because you're not developed enough to plan that far. And plus, you want to be able to change and be flexible. But the major things, two or three things, yeah, plan a year ahead if you can.
Maybe quarterly?
Quarterly, 2 months at a time.
What you're describing is a little more of a vision retreat. This is where we see the ministry going.
That's a good thing, Trent.
And then we're going to, over time, add things in the meaning of that.
Vision, relationship building,
right.
Getting to know each other deeper. Yes, That's right.
Kind of
training. That's right. A leadership class is another idea we did for 8 weeks. With the leadership class, you can develop this yourself, where you talk about spiritual principles, commitment, prayer, obedience, but also ministry principles, this kind of stuff. This is what our leadership involves. We're looking for potential leaders. And you invite, we used to make it even mandatory in San Jose, where they had to go through the leadership class while during their term. We offered this class twice a year. Now, this was a bigger church. I was full-time. You know, so I had time to do this. But as a volunteer, you may not. But you can plan maybe a two-week class. And you ask your leaders to go through it while they're in leadership or their potential. No commitment. They're just coming to consider getting involved. And they look at what this ministry perhaps could involve for them. Okay? Motivating. Thank them privately and publicly. Thank them. Kevin is our sports director. And man, he just finished his 6 months, and didn't we have some great? You bring him up front. Didn't we have some great activities this last 6 months with Kevin? Remember that ball game when we went to the? Remember that? And Kevin, we're so glad, so thankful for you. And here's a $20 gift certificate to the Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. Where do you get the money from? Your offerings. Ooh, that's kind of nice. Yeah. You honor him. You honor your leaders at the end of their commitment, and the group sees it. Ooh, nice. You encourage them in your individual meetings, and you correct them privately. One time I goofed, and boy, I'll never forget it. Never forget it. One time I corrected a leader in front of the whole group, and bad move. Don't correct them publicly, correct them privately. Okay? You don't want to embarrass them. Give incentives. Model loyalty. Model enthusiasm. These are common, basic things. Okay, motivating the leaders. Loyalty, four types of bones. I'm going to have to quit here and show you something. Wish bones, I'm going to give something away. Jaw bones, knuckle bones, back bones. Man, I wish I had the ministry Dennis has, or I wish I had the ministry Kevin has. What do you have? Start on what you have. Okay? Don't just wish. Jaw bones, I'll help you. Sure. Carol, I'll help you. And they never show up to help. Knuckle bones. Man, if I was in charge, I wouldn't do it like Faith is doing it. Man, I can't believe it. Knocking everything or something, don't do that. Those are the people you need. Then there's the backbones. I'll help you. And they do. Those are the kind of people you want. Okay, I want to give something away here in the last 5 minutes and take some more comments and questions. On our table down there, since I'm a national office, we have developed some resources, and we carry a lot of different other resources too. This is our Older Sexuality and Singleness series. It's six sessions. A couple of you have already seen it. Six sessions, but it's not the clearest, cleanest. It's not digital. It's video and it's analog. And the guy running the big analog camera on his shoulder wasn't a pro, I'll tell you that. Now, you can see most of it and hear most of it, but there's a couple problems in those six sessions. And it's, like I say, it's not as clean as the new blue digital, this one. This is the new DVD, six sessions on this. I'm going to give this one away right here to the newest person in this in ministry in this room. 2 months or less. Anybody 2 months or less in single adult ministry? 4 months or less? 6 months or less in ministry? Look at this. 10 months or less? We got some hands. 9 months. All right. 8 months. Woo! 8 months. Kevin, do you have one of these? Or you have this one, don't you?
I got the blue one. So.
Okay, so you don't...
Sorry.
To be honest, this is cleaner. So I'm going to give it to one of these ladies in the back.
I got the blue one. Sorry.
You do? Can I give it to you, Vicky? Vicky, I'm sorry. Rita. Rita, thank you. Now, again, it's not as clean as this. Please... I wouldn't show it to a group of 100 because there's going to be too many perfectionists in there and they're going to say... But now, this is the same thing. It's in a digital format, two DVDs, and we're teaching issues on sexuality and singleness. Even things like masturbation, why teach about sex, philosophies of today, how far can I go, managing my sex drive. We need to be teaching this stuff to single adults. They deal with this. And giving them biblical answers and discussing it. So there are printable PowerPoints on here, and there are discussion questions. Questions are on there too, but not PowerPoints. So this is, we have a few of these left on at the table. I want to mention that to you. Don't forget to pick up our website. The little newsletter you have. The little.
You've
got, okay. I'm trying to sell them because I'm trying to raise money for my budget. It helps my ministry budget at national office. The little newsletters you have in your hand, the little source, they're every 3 months. We will mail them right to your house for $3 a year. $3 a year. Pick up a card. She has them right there. We can bill you the $3. Just check bill me on the bottom. $3 a year, or you can get groups, 10, 20, 30 of them for your group. This one, I've had questions about this. This is a DVD teaching discussion video. There's six different topics down there by Rob Bell, a noted young adult leader in the country. Each one is 13 minutes or so. They're $13. You can show it and teach it. Life issues, spiritual issues, really good stuff. There's six different ones down there. On the table. And then we have some curriculum. Six different books down there. This one's called One for the Lord. Issues that single adults face. Dating, sex, self-esteem, identity, things like that. 9 different sessions. They're inexpensive. $3 for the student guide, 10 for the leader's guide. Only a few left down there. You can order a few more on our website. But they go through issues that singles face, and you probably should make them 2 weeks each lesson. They're a little long for 1 week. So you could have 18 lessons right there. Anybody could teach them. And lastly, there's a book by a guy named Dennis Frank, which is really good. Just finished it.
Yes, it is.
Called Reaching Single Adults, and I'm excited. It was published by Baker Books 12 weeks ago, just out. And oh yeah, and we've got some of those left down there. What I've shown you today and a whole lot more is in there, expanded. So I hope you'll take a look at that. We'll pass it around. And then, oh, pass those, please. Start them now. These yellow sheets right here. If you want to be on our monthly email list, we have a leadership email monthly list. Sign up your name. We will send you a monthly email, resources, news, items, events, etc. And then I'm going to give this little shirt away, our logo, Recognizing, Reaching, Restoring, Releasing, to a guy. Is this a guy's shirt? Let me see. Nope, this is a woman's shirt. Buttons on the other side. To a woman who has driven 4 hours or more. 6 hours. 5 hours. 4 hours.
Driven or flown?
Driven. 4 hours or more. You did, Lorna. And if it's the wrong size, you can go check at the table, see if we have the other sizes. Again, this is $99. We have 2 of these. Thanks for being here. Pick up some stuff on the website. Go to the website. Go to our table. We have people down there. Look for this. And God bless you. Good to have you here. The next 2 classes we're teaching on models. I hope you can go to one of them because it's totally different than this.
Do you have this DVD on your website?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. On the website.
Dennis, on the source, can we get you to build a church?
Yes, we can build a church.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
It's not on there, though.